Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. You want to know what is the takeaway today? Are you ready? Drum roll, please. We must worship God alone. We must worship God alone. This is God's word. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people whom you brought up out of Egypt have become corrupt. They've been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.' I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. "O Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce anger. Relent and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever.'" Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. Moses turned and went down the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. The tablets were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting, he said to Moses, "There is the sound of war in the camp." Moses replied, "It is not the sound of victory. It is not the sound of defeat. It is the sound of singing that I hear." When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf they had made and burned it in the fire. Then he ground it to powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. He said to Aaron, What did these people do to you that you led them into such great sin? Do not be angry, my lord, Aaron answered. You know how prone these people are to evil. They said to me, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. So I told them, whoever has any gold jewelry, take it off. Then they gave me the gold, and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. Moses saw that the people were running wild and that Aaron had let them get out of control and so become a laughingstock to their enemies. So he stood at the entrance to the camp and said, whoever is for the Lord, come to me. And all the Levites rallied to him. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Each man strap a sword to his side. Go back and forth through the camp from one end to the other, each killing his brother and friend and neighbor. The Levites did as Moses commanded, and that day about 3,000 of the people died. Then Moses said, you have been set apart to the Lord today, for you were against your own sons and brothers, and he has blessed you this day. The next day Moses said to the people, you have committed a great sin. But now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. So Moses went back to the Lord and said, oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold. But now, please forgive their sin. But if not, then blot me out of the book you have written. The Lord replied to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. Now go lead the people to the place I spoke of, and my angel will go before you. However, when the time comes for me to punish, I will punish them for their sin. And the Lord struck the people with a plague because of what they did with the calf Aaron had made. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. What is sad in this story? Well, 3,000 people died in one day. That's sad. But that's not nearly as sad as the fact that the people, with Aaron as a leader who took directions from the people, worshipped a gold calf that they had made. That is really sad. The 3,000 who died would have died anyway. Because you see, the fact of the matter is, despite our efforts to ignore it and blot it out and forget about it and pretend it's not going to happen, all of us are going to have to die and face God. Some people think that they can end their lives at their own hand and just escape from all their problems. But folks, it's not the way it works. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Let me tell you that the problems we face in this life are minuscule, tiny, compared to the seriousness of standing before a holy God. If you are not prepared to meet God, you need to prepare now. Prepare to meet your God. But folks, that's only true if you understand who your God is. Because you may, like the people in this story, have created something else for yourself. That's not what you're going to meet after you die. You're going to meet the God who is God. Whether you believed in him or not, he is God. Let me tell you, what you choose to believe is your choice. If you want to be a psychotic, you can behave like a psychotic. That's a crazy person who doesn't know the difference between what's real and what isn't. If you want to be a fool, which the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, you can live life like a fool. pretending that God doesn't exist. But whether you acknowledge him or not now, you will have to acknowledge him one day. He is God, and he is to be worshiped. And he tells his people how to worship. And if we do not worship him the right way, we will suffer for it. He won't. We're not robbing God in some sense that leaves him impoverished. When we refuse to worship God as he is ordained, we are robbing ourselves, we're robbing our families, we're robbing our culture. But God remains God forever.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I've had the privilege of traveling to many beautiful places around the world, but my first trip to Israel, I felt as if I was coming home. The stories I had learned in childhood came alive as I visited the actual places where these events happened. The wonderful truth about our faith is that it isn't built on myths and make-believe. Christianity is grounded in the facts of history. To be able to walk in the places where Jesus walked, to look out over the beautiful Sea of Galilee, to enjoy the ancient city of Jerusalem, and pray on the Mount of Olives amid the ancient trees is an unforgettable experience. I took my wife and two of my children with me the first time I went to Israel. This time, I'd like to take you. Visit our website for complete details.
Plan now for this 2019 trip by visiting wvr.org/Israel.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus.
So, God is giving his people his law through Moses, and Moses is up on the mountain and Joshua is there to assist him. But it's taking Moses a long time in coming down from the mountain. And so the people gather around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Who brought them up out of Egypt? Well, Moses. God brought them up out of Egypt. Moses was the guy who was out front. But you see, the people could see Moses. They didn't have the same kind of ability to view God. God manifested himself in a remarkable way with them in a way that he had not done with people before. The pillar of fire by night, the pillar of cloud by day, there was no question about where the presence of the Lord was. When the Lord brought them to the Red Sea and he caused the waters to stand up on either side and they went through on dry land, how could they say, "Yeah, Moses did that. That was Moses"? You got to be crazy to think that that was done by human means. It was supernatural. Only God could have done that. And yet, we want something we can see and touch right now. Our hearts are so materialistic that when God, the creator of all things, invites us to know him, we instead get fixated on stuff. You think about the devotion that people give to athletics, to money. I mean, it's just stuff. The great athlete that we idolize in our culture, the musician that we idolize in our culture, it's just stuff. And it's all going to fade away. In this chapter, we see that the people spoke of Moses in the past tense. "As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. We want gods who will go before us. We've got things to do, places to go. We need some gods." What a crazy psycho thing for these people to say, but it is the cry of the human heart. We got to have something to go after. We got to have something of supreme value. Everybody, everywhere is a worshiper. Every atheist is a worshiper. Everybody has something in their life that they put in the place of greatest importance. I've known people for whom it was golf. Really? I mean, that was what they were all about, their identity. It was wrapped up in golf. Golf. But we want to have something. And so we put something in that place. Aaron answered them, take off the gold earrings your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing. Yes, guys were wearing earrings back there. That's because they had grown up in pagan Egypt. But all these people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron, and he took what they had handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Please don't miss that. He made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Please look at verse 22 when Aaron is explaining what happened to Moses. Aaron said, do not be angry, my Lord. You know how prone these people are to evil. They said to me, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. So I told them, whoever has any gold jewelry, take it off. And they gave me the gold, and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. Out came this calf. All I did was throw the gold into the fire, and out came this calf. He fashioned it with a tool. He cast it in the shape of a calf. He worked on that baby. He was proud of his artwork. But all of a sudden, when it's exposed for the evil that it is, it's like, ooh, it was accidental. Years ago, my brother was speaking on this passage. My brother, the doctor, not my brother, the preacher. And he said, we do the same thing when we talk about our schedule and when we talk about our budget. It just happened. You know, I don't have any time to do these things that God says I should do because my schedule's too full. I have all this other stuff that I have. Well, who made your schedule? It just came out of the fire. No, you make your schedule. You decide what you're going to prioritize. And if you just let it happen by indecision, you're still making a decision not to take control and prioritize what really matters. If you don't have time to spend alone with God, it's because you chose to fill that time with other things, whether it's sleep or play. You make your schedule. If you want to spend time with God, you can spend time with God. I don't care what else is going on in your life, you can spend time with God. Your schedule is something you have more control over than you realize. And your budget? You have the capacity to earn and the responsibility to decide what you're going to do with what you earn. Don't blame your schedule or your budget on somebody else. Because the fact of the matter is, you fashion it with a tool. You make the decision. And yet, when it turns out that we've messed up, we all want to do like Aaron did and say, it just, you know, I threw the stuff in the fire and out came the calf. It's not being honest. It's not being honest. Don't do that. So, God threatened to destroy the people and raise up a new nation from Moses. Now, some people would have said, I get to replace Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I get to be the new patriarch. This is fantastic. Moses says, no. Lord, these are your people. Have compassion on them for the glory of your name. Don't let the nations around us say that you brought your people up out of Egypt to destroy them. Have mercy on them. As he prays for God to have mercy, he is praying in accordance with God's will. This is God's desire and God's design, and Moses is a forerunner of Christ in the way that he shows the heart of God to have compassion on those who don't deserve it. And when Moses comes back to talk with God about what has happened, he doesn't come back and say, listen, it wasn't that big a deal. He comes back and he says, oh, it's a terrible thing that people have done. He doesn't try to minimize the sin. Instead, he comes back and he magnifies the greatness of God and the greatness of his mercy. And he says, God, for the glory of your name, please save the people. Folks, the only reason any of us ever gets saved is not because our sin wasn't really that bad. Nobody is ever going to get into heaven by minimizing their sin and trying to persuade God that they didn't do that much that was really bad. I mean, what some other people do, that was really bad. But, you know, my stuff, really. No. It was horrible. Our sin makes us worthy of damnation. But God in his mercy has chosen to save us. We don't deserve it. But what about this thing here with the killing? God used Moses to bring a picture of what sin leads to. And thousands died as the Levites, who would be the priests before God, were charged with the responsibility of going among people they knew and loved. Your friends, your neighbors, your brothers, and killing them. Why? Because everybody was involved. Everybody deserved to die. Not everyone was required to die right then. In addition to the fact that there were people who were killed by the sword, you come to the end of the chapter, and what does it say? Verse 35, and the Lord struck the people with a plague because of what they did with the calf Aaron had made. Say, wow, 3,000 people were killed. God says, there's going to be more. And God sent a plague. Do we really believe that sin results in death? Do we really believe that that's what it adds up to? The wages of sin is death. Do we believe that, or do we think that sin is really the way to life? Do you feel like God is holding you back from doing what would bring you great life? He's not. He's holding you back from death. Sin leads to death. Oh, but I know best what will make me happy. No, you don't. No, you don't. I am so grateful to God, who in his mercy kept me from getting many of the things I wanted. It was his mercy. God is mercifully teaching sinful people, do this, don't do this. Worship God alone. Do not worship idols. And you and I need to understand, whatever idols are in our lives must be smashed. Sin results in death. And that's not a good thing. Worship God alone. Don't have other idols. Worship only God.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood, www.wheresvalleyranch.org.